The Government Operations Subcommittee will now come to order. Brenda, please call the roll.
Chair Fisher.
Here.
Representatives Barrero.
Here.
Chambliss.
Here.
Fabricio.
Here.
Fetterhoff. Hinson. Jenny. Killebrew.
Yes, ma'am.
McClure. McClure. McCurdy.
Here.
Rizzo.
Here.
Rodriguez.
Present.
Roth. Roth. Sabatini, excused. Schoaf. Skidmore.
Here.
Smith, excused. Zika.
Present.
We have a quorum, Chair.
Thank you, Brenda. Please make sure all cell phones and communication devices, including laptops, are turned off or placed in silent mode. Good afternoon, members. I want to welcome you to the Government Operations Subcommittee. For today's meeting, the Department of Management Services will provide an update on the implementation of House Bill 1079 from last year. As a reminder, HB 1079 sought to strengthen our state policies for competitively procured contracts for commodities and contractual services. The bill included several provisions designed to increase accountability and transparency in state contracting, such as the creation of contract oversight teams to oversee large contracts and establish in law of a process, the establishment in law of a process by which incompetent vendors may be placed or on a suspended vendor list. After the presentation, I will recognize members for questions. With that, I want to welcome Chief Procurement Officer Roz Ingram. Roz Ingram serves as the Director of State Purchasing at the Department of Management Services, and in that role is responsible for developing procurement policies and practices throughout the state. Ms. Ingram, you're recognized.
Thank you. So, good afternoon. As he said, my name is Roz Ingram. I'm the Chief Procurement Officer for the state of Florida. I also serve as the Director of State Purchasing in the Department of Management Services. I'm really excited to be here today to talk about this good bill that increases accountability and transparency for Floridians. So what I'd like to do is quickly go through sort of the meat of the bill, and then at the end sort of tell you where you are on progress, and then entertain any questions you may have. So the first significant change increases the level of competition for vendors. The bill directs agencies to have a larger field of vendors to contemplate when purchasing contractual services. Before, they could choose a certain number, 3 or 5. Now, when they're using one of my state term contracts, they have to send an RFQ out to all vendors, up to 25 vendors for that contract. To enhance this process and reduce resources for the agencies, our My Florida Marketplace system has already been enhanced to push out that so we don't increase their workload. It will push those to the agencies as they go online to order something. This proactive move should assist them in any additional workload they might have entertained. Another portion of the bill that may also increase competition is sole source. So this, a portion of the bill extends the time required for the posting of a potential sole source from 7 business days to 15 business days, thereby allowing more time for a vendor to challenge the fact that someone says only one person can do something. So it triples, basically, a business week and a half, 2-3 weeks to have that posted. It includes language to receive quarterly reports from agencies, and it directs DMS to report to the governor, House, and Senate every January for that report. DMS is working with agencies to define the report and to sort of set procedures on how that's done. Another portion of the bill requires an agency to have appropriation and authority prior to a solicitation being launched. They have to have the authority and the appropriation prior to it being launched. And we have had that hanging around on through proviso and different things, and it's codified in statute. We have increased, the bulk of this bill talks about contract management and training. So the first portion that we talk about for additional accountability is a section dealing with contract managers and other training requirements. So it strengthens the requirements for the Florida Certified Contract Manager and the Florida Certified Contract Negotiator training. It establishes certification requirements for the negotiator training and requires all curriculum to be reviewed every 5 years. The section directs contract managers to monitor their contracts in a manner that provides consistency throughout the enterprise. Each contract manager who is responsible for contracts in excess of $10 million must have 5 years of experience managing contracts of at least $5 million, therefore having somebody that has significant experience that are dealing with larger contracts. An individual may not serve as both the contract manager and the contract administrator for contracts in excess of $500,000 so that we can allow for a separation of duties. Accountability is also enhanced by the provision of new training in the bill. We're providing training for anyone who supervises contract managers, contract administrators, or grant managers. This training is going to allow for consistent decision making. So you have an employee who manages a contract, then you may have a supervisor who doesn't understand the provisions of the contract or perhaps some of the procurement surrounding that. And this will have that supervisor go through a training annually that allows for them to have the same, not exactly the same level of information, but a decent level of information to be able to work with their contract managers. The training being created and being delivered will be in the People First Learning Management System, and we will have the appropriate parties identified by each agency. The training is consistent with content in the contract manager, contract negotiator, and other procurement training already delivered by the department. Now for the oversight teams. This bill creates oversight teams for consistency again in monitoring managing contracts. The thing I would like to make a point here is agencies have been doing contract monitoring and contract management for years. What has not been consistent is the way they do that. So this bill now will force sort of consistency along agency lines for those things to occur, and the oversight teams created that. These are at levels of $5 million, $10 million, and $20 million, and that's how the teams are created, how they operate, and what the notifications are. The transparency is enhanced by the reporting requirements. The most stringent is the oversight team must notify in writing the agency head, DMS, OPB, and the legislative appropriations committees of any significant change in scope or any increase in cost greater than 5% of the planned cost of the contractual services above $10 million. So that's now a requirement. So every agency may have been doing a portion of that all along, but now the requirements in statute. Accountability is also increased by the amended requirements for suspended vendors and the establishment of a formal process. This section details a process by which a vendor may be suspended and a process for them to be removed from the suspended vendors list. Vendors will retain their Chapter 120 rights to challenge the placement on the list or the ability to get off the list. So where are we? The things that we have been working on have been consistent all the way around on communication. So we have been working on the supervisor training, the courses based on the procurement materials already established and vetted. That will be launched in July in the learning management system. Also, we had put together a couple years ago, I call it grassroots. It was a 4-day training for any new procurement person. We called it POP, Procurement Operations Prep, because we love our acronyms. And we're now moving that online so that other folks and agencies can go in and pick pieces of that online for learning. For the oversight teams, we have offered to assist all other agencies with the outside agency team member requirement for the $20 million. And that has been really the piece that we've been asked about from other agencies is can we help them hold hands across the aisle and try to find a person that would be relevant to what they're doing. So we've been working on that. We also have a couple of rules that need to be tweaked based on the changes in statute, and we'll be coming out with those. The quarterly reporting for sole source for the first quarter will be coming out in the next few weeks until we can get this locked down to a tighter process, but we're working with the agencies to ensure that we're gathering the necessary information to be able to get that to you on a very timely basis every quarter. We've been working with our purchasing directors. Every other month I have a meeting with them. And during that meeting, we either offer new information. In this particular one, we had a lot of information with the bill. We had a lot of questions, clarifications. But for the most part, there were really clarifications. So we would continue to do that in our purchasing directors' meetings. We also send out routine emails for updates. We would utilize that opportunity to get additional information to them and for them to be able to reach out to us, which they do all the time. The applicable changes for the bill have already been added into any trainings delivered by the department. And that, sir, is my presentation.
Thank you, Ms. Ingram. Appreciate your presentation. Members, do we have any questions for Ms. Ingram? Vice Chair Rodriguez, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Ingram, just if you could just it's not so much a question, can you just repeat what you mentioned about the $5 million experience requirement, and then you mentioned $500,000 as well, but can you just retouch on that real quick? I want to make sure I understood that right.
Recognized.
Thank you. Thank you for the question. So the $500,000, that requirement was put in because agencies not having the resources available, and maybe for the people, but not maybe utilizing them in the way they could be utilizing them, were having the same person be the contract administrator and the contract manager. And really, they should be two separate people. So we set that limit at any contract under $500,000. They can be the same person, but anything over that, they need to be two different people. Basically, that requirement. The experience requirement, your second question, anybody that's going to manage a contract over $10 million, we want them to have 5 years of experience with contracts of at least $5 million so that they can show they can manage a large contract.
And follow up, Mr. Chair?
Recognized.
And that's... when you say experience, that's within your agency or the person doing the private entity doing a bid? I mean, what do you mean when you say the experienced person within your agency?
You're recognized.
Thank you. Any agency that, I'm sorry, it is on the state side, on the state employee side, whoever's managing that contract. I apologize. That was probably
Got
not
it.
Clear.
So on the state side. All right.
Yes, sir.
You. Do you have any other questions? Representative Henson, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for your presentation. When do you anticipate these contract oversight teams will be fully operational? And did I understand you to say they're going to be like look-alike teams?
You're recognized.
Thank you. Thank you for the question. We have not, honestly, like I said, they've been doing these functions all along. So as far as how they have comprised their teams, they have not notified us. That's really by agency. But as far as the complement of them, that's laid out in statute. It's very clear. So they will have those the same. And the way they have their deliverables, that is detailed also in the bill, that will be the same. The way they apply it, of course, may be a little bit different by agency.
You recognize for follow-up?
So I'm understanding you to say that the teams are already operational and they just require training on the new bill?
You're recognized.
Thank you. Thank you for the question. I think that, well, we don't have notification, to be clear. We haven't asked for them to report back to us. As far as training, it's laid out very, very similarly to the way they would put it in a contract on what's going to be monitored. That's already there. So to me, for my shop, for instance, I can speak to my shop. So for my shop, we were already monitoring contracts. Were we doing contracts over $10 million monthly? No, we were doing them quarterly. So now we will switch those to monthly. So there's nothing in there that is a great imposition as far as something new for the agencies. It's just, so the training should be minimal. They're already monitoring their contracts. It's just how they deliver the information is different.
Representative Killebrew, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, I appreciate the briefness of your presentation. On the single source and the RFQs, once you submit them or put them out, did you say there was a time frame that was shorter for single source than it was for RFQs, or did I not hear that right?
Chair, thank you. Thank you for the question. Actually, those two things, I'm going to untangle them for you. On one side, on the sole source piece, we actually added time for that posting. In other words, if say you wanted to buy a hat, I'll use some obscure. If you wanted to buy a hat, one hat, this only hat they have in the whole world, you're going to post that instead of 7 days, you have to post it for 15 days. And somebody can say, no, I have a hat. I can sell you two. So that increased the time frame for posting. On the second piece, on the RFQs, what we did was increase the amount of RFQs they have to look at before they make a choice. Right. So we increased that from whatever the minimum was in the contract, usually 3 to 5, to at least all of them up to 25. And if we have a large, because we have a couple of very large contracts, they only have to have 25.
Right. You recognize for follow-up?
Follow-up. How do you determine sole source?
You know, recognized.
I mean,
am I good?
You're recognized.
Thank you. Sole source is actually determined by the posting. So an agency can assume they're buying a one-of-a-kind thing. So that's why they have to post it. And it goes out on our vendor bid system. And so anybody out there that has applied to the system and has the commodity codes on there, it posts out there, they can say, no, I can supply that service or commodity as well.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Representative McCurdy, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Chair Fisher. Good afternoon. Thank you for the brief presentation. And I just wanted to ask, I know you said the training is minimal because the agency is already doing a lot of these things. My question is, do you see any resistance as far as implementation of the training from your perspective? And do you need any help or any specific issues that we could probably help you address with that?
You're recognized.
Thank you. Thank you for the questions. That's actually, thank you for the second question, especially. For the only thing that we've really heard about was the needing the person for that $20 million and over, because you have to pull in another person for the oversight team. But we don't have very many of those that are $20 million annually, so that's a reduced number. The one that we have had questions about has been the 5 years of experience. So what we have offered is additional training, if we can help with that, which we have already. And the other piece that we told them was, look, if you have a guy that doesn't have an employee that does not have a heavy load, they could probably do more than one if it's not a complex contract. Yeah. You could have a guy that has got 7 years that has more than one that meets that requirement. At this time, I can't think of a thing.
Okay.
Good. Thank you.
Just a brief follow-up. Thank you. In regards to the amending requirements for suspended vendors, just wanted to be clear on that. Is it now harder or easier to be suspended? And is there a certain thing as being blacklisted and not being able to ever be reinstated?
You're recognized.
Thank you. Thank you for the question. All right. Let's start at the beginning. Okay. On the suspended vendor, it is different. All we had before was a rule that just spoke to default. Okay, so default is a different issue than what's been put in the bill. The bill speaks to default, but it also speaks to repetitive noncompliance. So actually, it strengthens the ability to, if an agency chooses, to be able to apply to have a vendor on the suspended vendor list. Are they there forever? No. And that process is also outlined in the bill, where they can come back and they can go through DOA and say, hey, we want to get back on the good list, if, as it were. They have to go through a process.
Representative Henson, you were recognized for a question.
In follow-up to that same question, you mentioned Chapter 120 rights. I have no clue. Can you tell us what that is?
You're recognized.
I'm sorry, yes. I should have explained that clearer. That's the protest rights. So if they don't think they should be on the suspended vendor list, they have an avenue that they can challenge that. And then if they're on it and they want to get off of it, they have an avenue where they can challenge that as well. Both sides. Yes, ma'am.
Do you have any other follow-ups? Members, do we have any other questions? I know this was a bill that passed unanimously, but we really thought there would be quite a bit of questions on this. So if you have questions, please. Nope. Ms. Ingram, thank you for your presentation today. We appreciate how brief it was. And if we do have questions, we'll send them over to you in writing.
Thank you.
Sometimes things come up after we wrap up here. Members, at this time, since we don't have any questions, we don't have any other questions. I mean, I really thought this was going to be a robust discussion. I do want to thank Ms. Ingram for joining us today. We appreciate. All good. We appreciate you taking the time to provide this information to us. That concludes our committee agenda. Once we adjourn, please remember to exit promptly so the sergeant staff can prepare the room. Seeing no further business before the committee, Representative Barrero moves that we rise. Without objection, see the meeting adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.